I get it.
You're just not going to put out more content than me.
We do social media.
You need to have everyone knowing that you're in real estate.
Everything ties together. It's all correlated. Offline branding, online branding, piecing everything together.
Are you willing to put yourself out there? I have Why Not You tattooed on my wrist.
And we're back.
Okay.
We're back.
So, this episode, hold on, before we start.
Like we never moved.
Yeah, scratch my head. It's like we never moved. But, all right. Another episode, Why Not You podcast. Got myself, Francis Volpe.
Tony Peck, Godfather Marketing.
Mike Capozzi.
The Beard.
The Beard. That's a stable. That has to be said every single time. But
The Beard.
In this episode, I know Michael, prior to filming, wanted to hit on the topic of Twitter.
So floor is yours, talk.
Hell yeah.
Let's go. So we're going to kind of let Michael take the floor here and talk a little Twitter action because there's a lot that's been going on with just Twitter alone, with Elon officially buying the company, firing a ton of people, but it's still working. So Michael, the floor or the podcast studio is the yours.
Beers. Hell yeah. Do either of you use Twitter?
I do every day. I tweet one to two times a day.
Do you enjoy it?
I thoroughly enjoy it, actually.
Which features do you use besides like tweeting?
The tweet feature.
Just tweeting?
Tweeting and I enjoy consuming. No, I don't do spaces anymore.
What about communities?
No. Just
Twitter
other
Blue?
Threads. No, not even.
Damn, what about you?
I go on Twitter to check maybe like sport updates and things like that. It's too loud for me.
It's become my way of getting my voice out in quick bursts on other platforms that I'm not going to say the things I'm saying on Twitter.
Because of the ability to write.
And it's quick. Yeah. So I kind of like it. It's almost like venting. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a quick thought.
I never thought about it like that. Like using it as like a venting platform in a sense. Because it's almost like your digital diary.
Yeah.
But not talking about too personal of shit.
Yeah, it's not even personal stuff. It's like all business stuff I'm talking about. Or whatever I'm thinking in the moment. It's just stuff I'm not going to post on other platforms because it has to be a video.
When I was in college, I used Twitter was like a big thing. Like everyone used Twitter. I know a lot of athletes still use Twitter, celebrities and things like that.
We had a Twitter page.
We had a Twitter page.
But I don't know. For some reason, I just got away from Twitter and never really fully dove into it. And I tell myself to this day, it's not that hard. Take your phone out, little tweet, boom, done. That's it. Get off the platform. If some people like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I know growth on Twitter is not the easiest thing in the world. I know a lot of people just bought a ton of followers at one point because of the whole bot thing that Elon was going through. That probably goes across every platform.
Yeah.
But no, Twitter for me, you know, I like to see updates maybe like, you know, recent news for the Jets or, you know, sports in general. But I'm not like I'm not on there to learn something that has to do with marketing or business. You know, maybe Michael sometimes sent stuff from like certain, creators on Twitter. But if I'm going to go and learn something, I have specific people that I watch and follow on Instagram and TikTok.
I actually like Twitter because my tweets, I'll surface back and make those into videos.
That's smart. That's a big thing though. A lot of people say to do that.
So instead of using notes now, I tweet it. And then I'll just reference it back. Yeah. Like even on my TikTok, you see I do like those posts where I put like motivational quote.
Yeah, those are your tweets.
I'm just going through my tweets and I'm just copying and pasting it. So it's for me, it's good on the time side where it's helping me save time across content curation on other platforms, which is nice. And I actually do learn a lot from it from other people. So people that I follow on other platforms, I follow them on there. And I learn so much from them. And even some people that you sent along, I follow them. And like I said, I do learn a lot. And my preference is audio and visual to learn. But the way people make some types of threads, they're really quick and digestible for me to get a high level understanding of what they're talking about.
Yeah.
So I do actually enjoy Twitter for the consumption portion of actually learning. Do I get any business from Twitter? Absolutely not.
Right.
And how many people that I know are following me on Twitter? Not a crazy amount.
Just a brand thing at that point.
It's just
though.
An extra,
maybe extra people see you. Hey, check out this guy Tony or whatever. But like Michael, talk a little bit about like this whole Elon buying Twitter. What does that mean for the tech space now? You know, because he is proving that with like a lesser budget, he could still accomplish the same. So what are you like, you're more into that, like reading on the back end of stuff.
I mean, I'm more like, listen, Elon's leading Twitter the way he wants to. I don't really think for better or worse that he's doing anything on it. Like it's the same platform.
Yeah.
He's monetizing it more. And I think it's, if you look at it outside of the social media aspect of it, right? If you look at it as just strictly a just like a platform. He's trying to change what Twitter is and what most social media platforms are as well. So like if you listen to it a lot, he's trying to find out ways to not rely on advertising dollars. He's trying to find out ways to monetize the platform itself so that it's self-sustaining and not, you know, goes through like these motions of like roller coasters where you have, you know, during December, advertisers spend the most money because it's Christmas. Mm-hmm. Everyone wants the advertisements. Everyone's buying that top placement in like, you know, whether it's your feed, whether it's your YouTube video, it's your first ad, second ad, maybe not the last one, but people are still buying placements.
Yep.
And what's interesting to me is that what he's doing with it, he wants to make it into, and I don't know if either of you know this, he wants to make it into like LinkedIn, where LinkedIn doesn't necessarily rely on advertising dollars.
No, they have the LinkedIn Premium.
Correct. It's a $30 a month like membership.
I wonder how many users they have, though. How many members?
A shit ton.
Really, for LinkedIn?
Because of corporate.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Everyone who's in a corporate position, C-suite executives, or at least, you know, like maybe like mid-ranks, maybe not like entry-level.
All
like,
have it.
They all have it.
The man who cannot be named because we don't really name people in the podcast I was just on the phone call with, mm-hmm. he has it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's someone that just opened two months ago, and that was the first thing he bought. He said, I paid for the access to the other features.
Crazy good feature platform like for LinkedIn because like if you think about it, right, it's like you have to pay to network.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It's like,
this is big for like, recruiting too.
And also, like, think about it.
You get more access to information, right? Yep. Things like that.
If you asked any other user of any other platform, would you pay $30 a month to use this platform? Everyone would say no.
I mean, I would say yes.
For Instagram?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would say yes for Instagram. I get that. I would say yes for TikTok.
Personally. Wouldn't say yes for TikTok.
I would say yes for YouTube as well, though.
Right. But what about $8 a month to use any platform?
I would still say yes for Instagram and YouTube.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would pay for it because especially if it's like we've talked about in the past, it's, you know, if you're looking to marketing and market and brand, mm-hmm. like you have to. People are going to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's, for some people, it's the only way they stay in touch with certain people.
Yeah.
You know, exactly. So like there's different, like, so like we talk about social media from a business standpoint, mm-hmm. and a brand and marketing and advertising standpoint. But if you think about it just for like the normal everyday person like that maybe is not like the consumer, right? You know, they don't post as often as we do. They're mm-hmm. not posting as many stories. Maybe they post a photo every, you know, 6 months or whatever it may be because it's like a wedding they're at or it mm-hmm. doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But then those same people are using social media to scroll and see maybe what their friends and family are up to.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
You know, so social media has so many different ends to it.
There are. Yeah, you know, there are a lot of ends to it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, the business and family and then so on and so forth.
Yeah, and like to get people to pay for the platform, that's always been like the unspoken rule of social media, right? Because like all these platforms are free.
Yep.
But for
That would be so interesting to see that if every single platform went to a pay subscription monthly like model, like whether it's $5, $1, $10, mm-hmm. whatever, how many people would continue to pay for it?
Depends on the price point.
It's interesting you bring that up because like...
But like, let me ask you something. Like what if someone like, you know, our business has been built on Instagram, right? But like you have people that have their stores are so successful because mm-hmm. of Instagram or TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Like, would they be willing to pay that, I don't know, $150 a month subscription?
Well, I think it definitely depends on the price and the features. But if you're making money off the platform, I think the whatever dollar amount it would be so subjective that they would pay for it. Because I can't imagine it being so much.
Right, but like
what they're making.
Yeah. So think about this. Like almost 10 years ago, I think it was like 2013, 2014, Facebook was testing Facebook Lite. So I don't know if you guys remember this back in the day. Like when you said like apps and there was a Lite version of the app, L-I-T-E.
Oh, yes. The free version.
It was a free version.
Kind of.
So like I think Cut the Rope. I feel like I remember that one like comes to mind, like a little game.
What was the running game? Temple Run?
Temple Run?
I think they had a Temple Run
Lite. So like what it is like this like Lite version, like but back then at least. It was a free version and then the full version wasn't Lite. It was mm-hmm. full experience.
Yeah. No ads. That was always like the biggest thing.
Correct. So Facebook was trying that out in like 2013, 2014, where they were going to test out Facebook Lite, meaning like it's a free platform. But if you want the most out of Facebook, you got to pay for it.
Mm.
Now, it's interesting to think that like if they actually executed on that, what would have happened with all of these different platforms?
Yeah.
Would it have become a standard now where you have to actually pick and choose which platforms you want?
Yeah.
Because to your point, a business would pay for something because mm-hmm. they get an ROI. But if you're just a general consumer and now you have to pay for access to be part of a platform, would you? I feel like right now, like we're past the point of no return at this point. Like I think social media has become like the epicenter of free content
mm-hmm.
because it's like you have to provide it for free, but it's at the expense of an advertiser paying for your overhead, right? Like, we don't think about that. We don't give a shit how Zuckerberg pays for himself. We don't give a shit how, like, those employees pay for themselves. But they're being paid by advertising dollars.
Yeah.
Because that's where all the revenue is.
Yeah, of course.
So, like, if you think about it, like, with what, like, tying it back to Elon in this way, like, with Twitter, he's trying to make it so that Twitter employees don't have to rely on advertising dollars.
Mm-hmm. You know what I think is interesting with the whole Twitter thing, too? Mm-hmm. I thought this was an interesting number. I'm a numbers guy. I like the numbers. Twitter was paying in yearly payroll $1.1 billion. Mm-hmm. $1.1 billion. His payroll a year now is $150 million.
That's crazy.
Twitter still works exactly the same. I have not seen any change from when he took it over. Still functions, still works. And I almost think he's in the headspace of, he's just trying to prove a point in the tech world too, that they don't need to be spending all this money on all these Gary, if he talks about it too, you don't need to be doing 8-hour-long corporate meetings with the same people within your company talking about the same thing over and over and nothing's actually happening.
Yeah.
Where I think it's almost Elon's way of unveiling that same thing of, you didn't need, like, I think he might have went to a little bit of an extreme. He probably could have kept about $300 to $400 worth of payroll, $300 to $400 million worth of payroll. Mm-hmm. It's probably where he could have been. Because I'm sure it's running really lean right now, and it might almost be too much for some of the people that are there currently. But you could always hire more. And I'm sure he will. I would assume another $100 million payroll coming up, I would guess, would make the most sense. But I think it's almost to the point that he's trying to prove that you don't need all these people to run these types of companies. And I don't know if that is where his head's at or how he's thinking about it. Well, it's so interesting.
His head is percentage. I mean, listen, we'll never know where his head's at. He cut 90%. Really, but you have to think about it. Twitter isn't innovating currently. They're sustaining.
Mm-hmm. Which is wild that you can sustain on 90% less of the workforce. Like, really? Like, I can't think of any 90, company.
Was it 90%? I know he dropped from like 7,500 to like 2,000. 1.1
billion to 150 million.
Well, payroll. Yeah.
I think also
quantity wise, it could be different. Any other business we know.
Yeah.
If you cut payroll by 90%,
there's a problem.
I couldn't see many companies sustaining. Well, just sustaining.
This is the interesting part, because like Fran always brings up like Hormozy, and Hormozy always preaches on like one type of leverage is code. Because code is a one-time writing and it self-sustains itself because you could reuse it multiple times. Mm-hmm. Kind of similar to Twitter right now, right? Like, Twitter was thought out back in 2008.
Yeah.
It's kind of been the exact same platform minus a few features here and there.
Yeah.
But it's one piece of code that's being reused nonstop.
Yep.
But the same way, though, like you're saying, like, you cut off all this stuff. They're currently also kind of in a scramble because, like, they're trying to figure out which features are worth it to pay for. Mm-hmm. And so, like, that's where, like, this, like, battle, like, comes in. And really, like, the way I view it with Twitter is that, like, how long will it sustain itself until the point where, like, they have no one using it anymore? Because, like, their daily active users have dropped crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, they've dropped from, like, I think, like, 500 million to, like, 250 million.
But how many of that was bots?
I was just going to bring up the bot portion, yeah.
So, the because bots if you think about been, like, those haven't been, like...
eradicated yet?
No.
I thought he got rid of them. I thought they figured out that, like, a large percentage of Twitter was bots. Because if you look at, like, Instagram and like, every platform has bots, you know, because, like...
But it was pushing to eradicate them.
They still have them. They haven't eradicated them.
Yeah.
Well, he's freeing up inactive accounts. Those are inactive. Mm-hmm. Active accounts, they.
Got you. But bots aren't active.
Depending.
Depending.
No, they could be. They could be active bots, yeah.
Yeah.
You could have just an account that logs in once a day. It's considered a bot.
True.
Considered active.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know. It's interesting to see because, like you said, they're not innovating, but like none of these platforms technically, if you think about it, are innovating. They're just copying one another.
Yeah.
You know, well, like Instagram.
Depends. You'll have one platform innovate and then the rest copy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Instagram, if you think about it, like they keep coming out with updates every damn week.
Yeah.
And it's like, but my biggest concern is that these platforms, the CEOs and the owners of them, don't listen to the community of creators that use the platforms. Like if you go on to Instagram and you look at the CEO's content, everyone keeps posting and commenting, like, you don't listen to anything that the people are asking for.
But how easy is it to do that?
Like, it's pretty easy.
Is it? Like, if you have a platform of 1 billion users,
you always have people that
and you have a small subset of creators who maybe make up, like, 100,000 to 500,000 users, mm-hmm. you're talking about, like,
but at the same time, though, but at the same time, you do have the ability. Like, think about, like, when games are made. Like,
we're getting a call.
We gotta call it live.
Yeah, I'm gonna hop off.
That's all right,
Mike will be back. But you know, at the same time, though, if you think about like when games are made, right? Like these games bring in top creators and top gamers to try and test out these games. Because what I've seen is that when you bring in people like that, they're so into the community of gamers that they know they're like the voice. Like, they know what the gaming community wants. Therefore, they're able to tell the creator of the game, hey, this is what the community is looking for. Hey, this is what you should be doing, X, Y, and Z. And it's taking, you know, constructive criticism to make the experience better. Where I think with these platforms, they do have a similar ability to do that. But, like, you know, they're like, for, I brought up the Instagram thing, is that, like, yes, it can be a very minute amount of creators, like 100,000 out of a billion users. But if you pay attention, a lot of the, like, the guy gets thousands on thousands and thousands mm-hmm. of comments. And if you read through them, right, like Gary Vee says it all the time, you read comments, you will learn the voice of the community. You will learn what people want to know and what they're asking, what they're talking about. And it's the same things from the same people. You know, it's like they keep making changes, but it's almost like putting a Band-Aid on the wound.
Yeah.
Where TikTok tends to be constantly moving forward and pushing the needle forward. Yes, there's a lot more advertising going on now because that's, they're an ad platform. Like, they have to make money. But they're paying creators more. Their organic reach is more. You know, that's something as simple for, like, Instagram to do. Like, if you just pushed the reach open a little bit more and allowed people to reach more people and connect with more people, you would kind of push away a lot of the criticism that you once that you have every single day. You know, it's very hard for people, you know, you could build a brand and market and advertise and stuff, but it's like you're forcing people to constantly put advertising dollars. Where TikTok, it's you can go organic and a paid side, and you could see a better performance from organic.
I think it almost does tie down to that, the whole Twitter example with all the employees, because Instagram's been around longer than TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure their ad revenue is significantly more than TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to
Twitter?
Instagram versus TikTok.
Sorry.
And
because you have Facebook, too.
And Facebook. So they also have a lot more employees mm-hmm. to keep on payroll
Correct.
All these years versus TikTok's newer to the scene, so they have a little yeah. more speed and malleability.
Well, TikTok's company,
but I think it comes down to the whole Twitter thing, where they could probably trim a little fat to give more reach,
well,
because
TikTok,
they wouldn't need as much ads.
It depends. Everything's always a push and pull. And so, like yeah. your point, the way that TikTok is like constantly innovating and like, you know, like they're just doing stuff, it's because they have the most attention right now.
Mm-hmm. They're the
like,
mover right
correct.
Now.
Correct.
Yeah.
They're the mover. So technically, they have
yeah.
all the cards in their hand, right? Because
yeah.
right now they know for a fact that if they do something, every other place is going to copy them.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
It is. If you really break mm-hmm. that down, like TikTok has gotten to the point where they've changed the social media like landscape so fast.
I don't know if they've changed it as more as exposed what people actually wanted. I think they took like an amalgamation of everything, like meaning like Vine, Twitter,
mm-hmm.
Instagram, mm-hmm. Facebook. They
YouTube.
Looked at it all. YouTube. They looked at it all. They're like, what do people actually want out of this platform?
But they're competing directly with YouTube now.
They're competing with them because they're trying to go for that type of audience. But the
yeah.
thing is, like, TikTok at its whole is it's a random video generator.
It's an interest platform.
It's a like you can follow someone and maybe never see their videos ever,
mm-hmm.
but you can follow someone, see one video, and never see anything else from them.
No, of course, that's why they call it, it's a discovery / interest platform.
Correct.
Where if you go on TikTok, all these creators, most of them are pushing you to their YouTube or their Instagram, because it tends to be where more of a community, especially we talk about it all the time, where TikTok and YouTube are more of like these discovery platforms, where Instagram is more of a community-based platform now at this point.
I would throw YouTube into your community platform, too.
Creators
who have like their 100,000 plus subs.
But I'm saying with YouTube Shorts. Yeah, but
with
YouTube Shorts now, it's very much like a discovery platform. Like Shorts like kind of shoots everything at you, kind of like TikTok does. Where the short part of it gives you that TikTok IG reel feel. Like if you think about it, Shorts, Reels, and TikTok are literally the same.
Well, YouTube got really smart with their Shorts because mm-hmm. they allowed creators to monetize them.
Yes.
And they get a higher
Instagram
payout.
You can too.
They get a higher payout than TikTok.
Mm-hmm. Well, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube Shorts can all be paid out now. Reels
Correct.
Have bonuses. TikTok
Correct.
Have some type of payout.
Instagram has
does.
A community of creators who get paid.
Yes.
Regardless of any bonuses or anything.
Yeah.
They have how you get into it, I don't know. Sacrifice like your firstborn, who knows?
Yeah.
Right? I don't know, make a blood oath. Who knows?
Yeah, I have no idea. But it's just interesting to see because TikTok came on the scene, they bought out Musical.ly, and now all of a sudden they've really just like, they've control the movement of social media. Like TikTok makes a change, all of a sudden Instagram and YouTube Shorts are making a change. It's like it's gotten to a point though where with TikTok organic, like you see people literally start like their businesses explode off of a one piece of content. Like you haven't seen that since Instagram, like 2015,
mm-hmm. or like YouTube 2008.
Yeah. So it's just really.
I think it's just the ebbs and flows of each social media platform. It's like the beginning, you'll have the most explosive growth, and then it just plateaus.
Because then they become a business, they're hiring more people, and mm-hmm. they're going to take more money. That's what it comes down to.
No, it's just interesting to see, though, what's going to happen over the next few years with these social media platforms. Who's going to change? Who's going to come out with the next big thing? Mm-hmm. Is there going to be any type of innovation?
TikTok will continue. Like, listen, its reach has dropped already.
Yeah,
100%. We've seen the reach drop. Yeah. And the reach is going to continue. At some point,
they're going to be...
What is it?
It's confirmed the reach has dropped.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not confirmed. Let's put it this way. TikTok released their most viral videos of 2022. So, like, they did, like, their year-end recap. Oh, look at TikTok. Our platform did this. Take a look at our top 10 most viewed videos.
Yeah.
So, they showed the top 10 most viewed videos. From 2022 compared to 2021, there's, I think, like, a 10% drop in, like, views.
Meaning,
like,
ads.
It's just like the amount of users who are continuously using the platform mm-hmm. and whether or not they're actually staying there. So like in 2021, the top viewed video, I mean, listen, don't quote me on this one. I think it was around like 450 to 500 million views. The top most viewed video.
That's listen, nuts,
like
though.
That's you got a half billion eyes
that's
on
number
you.
One. Yeah.
Number one. I think number one for 2022 was like 440. So okay. like listen, I understand we're talking about like hundreds of millions. I understand, but like a 60 million view drop on your top most viewed video.
That's a good amount.
You lost a lot of interest, right?
Yeah.
You did. You lost a lot of interest in there.
No, that's why I was saying it's going to be, you know, to see where everything moves and how it moves. Mm-hmm. Because once once TikTok makes a change, everyone tends to follow Instagram. I mean, TikTok has stories now. Mm-hmm. I'd hate the feature.
They're trying to copy them too.
They're all trying to copy each other. There's like no originality at this point. It's just like, oh, they're doing this, let's do that. Same thing with Snapchat and Instagram. Like Snapchat came up with stories and mm-hmm. you know, or whatever the hell they were called at the time, and Instagram comes out with
Snapchat
it.
Snapchat is now monetizing. Did you see Snapchat Plus?
Yeah, I've heard of that. They also have shows. They have a lot of stuff.
It's literally a paid membership. Snapchat Plus, like LinkedIn Premium, mm-hmm. like Twitter Blue.
Yeah.
I this is like my hot take. You ready for this one? Mm-hmm. Podcast is my predictions. I think in 2025, 2026, so like that's been us in what, like about 3 or 4 years down the line, I think it's going to become common to pay for social media platforms. Like you're going to have to pay it. It's going to become a subscription. It's going to tack it on to your Netflix, tack it on to your Apple TV Plus. Just gonna become another thing where you pay $1 or $2 a month.
People will because they're already on the platform.
Correct.
It's different when you're just starting out and you need to convince someone to try the platform and pay to try it.
Correct.
The people that already want, they're gonna pay.
You're not gonna think about $5 a month.
You're not gonna go to your new social media app and take a 30-day trial for free and then pay $10 a month. It's like, why would I do this?
And I do think they started doing like the subscriptions on Instagram to kind of test people's how much are they gonna start making from subscriptions to mm-hmm. see how much money comes in.
Because they take a cut
of that. If you're willing to pay a creator. Are you going to be willing to also pay the platform and also follow these creators you're paying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so everything's part of it for beta testing.
Now, I still think Instagram will become the next Amazon. Trust me on that one. Meaning so, it's going to become a shopping platform.
Platform. It definitely could. It's going to be interesting what happens in the next few years. But last question before we stop. If they went to a paid model, what platforms would you pay for?
Me, right now, today's time, I would do Instagram and YouTube.
Okay. What would you do?
TikTok and YouTube.
Okay. I would do Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
I would do TikTok better on the price.
I would do TikTok because of the reach and the brand.
YouTube over everything. I would pay for YouTube Premium right now. They still have it. They actually have it.
But you don't need it to use YouTube.
You don't need it. But what's nice, though, I don't know if either of you know this, if you're monetized as a creator and someone who pays for YouTube Premium views your video, you get paid more money.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't
know. Well, that's like Twitch. I'm pretty sure. Twitch subs, but there's like a certain type of sub. I forget the name of it. Don't quote me on it.
Subscriber?
No.
Yeah, paid and non-paid.
No, it's like there's paid Super and chats? Non-paid, but there's like there's some type of Twitch subscription that's a little bit more. But at the end of the day, they are businesses. Yeah. They have to make money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, other people make money utilizing these platforms, but you know, there's a top dollar going somewhere. Yeah, they're gonna be changing something somewhere.
Yeah.
You know, like Twitter, you can pay for verification now. So it's like $20 a month and you have a little, you know, blue check mark next to your name.
$8 a month.
$11
if you're using an Apple device. If you pay for Twitter Blue from your iPhone, $11. If you go to the web, $8. Whoa. Listen, that's as of today.
Who knows
what's gonna happen tomorrow whenever he changes the prices?
That's interesting.
Why?
Yeah,
because Apple takes 30% cut.
Also, they just bumped it up to 30%.
Interesting. Apple always making money. make your phone stop working, make you buy chargers, headphones, everything. But guys, once again, hit that subscribe button. Thank you for listening. Just getting into a little debate about, you know, the whole world of digital marketing, where it's going. But we hope to catch you on the next one.
Why not you?